straight out of Austin, Texas. It's On Second Thought, powered by Hook'em.com, with your hosts, Statesman sports columnists Cedric Golden and Kirk Bowles. Often imitated, never duplicated. Hear it here first on Second Thought.
On Second Thought, episode 333, brought to you by Hook'em.com, our good friends at Bud Light. Cedric Golden here with Taylor's favorite duck, Kirk Bowles. Spring football, the orange-white game is 1 o'clock on Saturday, weather permitting. And we had to bring in a Longhorn legend to give us a little primer. He's been to a couple of practices, Duck, so he's privileged in that area. He's a Longhorn legend. He's almost a decade-long NFL career. He's a Super Bowl champion, and he's a trustee running unopposed. Somebody get him out of there. Pflugerville ISD. Alex Okafor joins us. What's up, Alex?
What's going on, fellas? I appreciate y'all for having me.
Hey, Alex. Cedric, how come you're not running for the school board? You live in Pflugerville.
I haven't run in 30 years. I might, you know, I might run to the store, but I walk to the car to run to the store. I don't run anymore.
Alex, so why are you running for school board, Alex? Tell us.
Man, so all throughout my NFL career, any chance that I had to give back to, you know, my local elementary school, my local middle school and high school, I've always tried to do that, whether that's providing book fairs for the kids. I remember we started up a reading program at an elementary school that I went to, Spring Hill Elementary, in which I got players from the Chiefs to read children's books to the kids via Zoom. So Everything, like my way of contributing to my community has always been through education. So I think this is a really cool way to get involved.
That is friggin' awesome.
Doug, he was raised right, the late Sonia Okafor. We say Okafor, but when she called me to yell at me, she said Okafor. I'm going to do her justice on this pod today. That was my buddy. Always taught him to live a life of service, and he's still doing it. Also, Duck, he's going to run us out of business. He's got a podcast now. Whoa. Behind the Face Mask
competition
on YouTube, and then he's on Third and Longhorns with those other legends. I saw Rob Babers on there, Deshaun. The best spring football player in history, Deshaun Hales, was on there. Fozzie is on there. All of those guys, and they're interviewing the Longhorns. We can't get a current Longhorn. I think they're scared of what we might ask them, Kirk.
Without a question. So let's get right to the ball, Alex. Yeah. What are the expectations from spring football game on Saturday?
Yeah, a few things. So I'll be excited to check into a few aspects of this upcoming year's team. First and foremost, I want some more of the Cedric Baxter and Jadon Blue tandem. I think we all got a little bit of preview of that from the Washington game, and if I'm being honest, I feel like we didn't get to see enough of that during the Washington game. So it's going to be interesting to see how Sark kind of uses those two guys, and I think that's one of the things I'm most excited about. Also, too, how are we going to replace the production of T-Sweat and Byron Murphy? That's going to be interesting as
that
well.
That boys broke up, yeah.
Yeah. How? How are they going to do that?
that's gonna be tough. So it's going to be interesting to see which guys get to rotate in there, see what type of production we get out of that. And speaking of the D-line, also one specific player would probably be Trey Moore for me. That's probably the guy that I'm going to watch every single snap. He's been
17 or 18 sacks at UTSA last year.
He had 14 and a half, and I think he had 22 the last couple of years. So he's a force. What do you expect from him? Have you
seen they haven't had a double-digit sack master since Jackson Jeffcoat left in 2013. Man, that's been a minute. That has been a minute. And I think that he's going to be good. I'm looking forward. What have you seen from this Colin Simmons from Duncanville? My nephew, they got served up to Duncanville Hutto in the first round of the playoffs last year, and we were just glad that Darian was able to get back to Austin in one piece, because a couple of times he had to – he had to block Colin Simmons, and they didn't go very well. So What have you seen from this young man in those couple of practices that you went to?
So whenever I went to practice, they were really trying to work his way in there. I know he's an early enrollee, so they didn't put too much on his plate, had him coming in here and there, but not necessarily just giving him the full load. So I don't have much to say for him, but I will say everybody seems to be excited about him. He's seemed to put on quite a bit of weight since he's gotten on campus. He's approached the spring semester the right way, and I'm telling you, UT's excited about this kid.
And did you watch Trey Moore? Did he flash when you saw him at practice?
Did he flash? Look, I'm not going to say any names, but the way practice was set up was it had one group on this side of the 50, other group on this side of the 50, and coaches and a couple of players were kind of straddling the 50-yard line. When I say I got caught looking at the wrong side of the field and he came and blew somebody up in the backfield behind me, and I can almost feel the wind from that impact. I said, okay, I got to keep my head on the swivel during this practice. But that's the type of intensity that Sark had going on that day, and I'm sure it carried on throughout all of spring.
Man, I love to hear that. It sounded like, you know, Kirk and I, when we talked to Sark, it sounded like he was saying that the defense got the best of the offense for most of the spring. Does that surprise you? Given the bevy of weapons, is it just a case of Quinn Ewers still having to get used to all of these new receivers?
Yeah, no. I'd say don't let Sark fool you. There's quite a few splash plays still on offense, so we don't have to worry about that. But no, defensively, I just love the mentality they came out with when I was at those few practices that I was at. I know I see David Menda, he seems like he's really taking the bull by the horns, and he's really led this thing the right way. And then you got guys like Jahdae Barron, Ant Hill. Like, these dudes love to compete, and I think you see that, and you can feel that on the defensive side of the ball this year.
Yeah, you mentioned A. Hill. I'm really interested to see him take the next step forward this year. I still think they should have spied on Dylan Gabriel with Ant Hill, and they might have gotten out of that Cotton Bowl with a win last October. So, does he look like a special player to you as a defensive standout yourself?
Yeah, no, he looks like the one. And obviously you see him, you see the physical traits he has, you see the size he has, speed, all of that. But I think what you really love to see from him is his competitiveness, man. He doesn't shy away from competition. He doesn't shy away from barking. Like, he wants all of that. And it gets me excited watching him.
We asked Sark about culture. They lost a lot of leadership, Oak. I mean, Jalen Ford, Christian Jones. I mean, those are hard guys to replace that have been leading that thing. Ryan Watts on the back end. And they're going to have, you know, the fat boys who we really love watching those two play. They're going to have like at least eight guys drafted. Worthy, Whittington, A.D. Mitchell.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a tendency for fan bases, just because you put together a 12-win season, to all of a sudden go, hey, this is who we are, and kind of overlook the process and what went into getting there? How tough is it going to be to keep that level up given the amount of institutional knowledge they just lost?
Yeah. And I think that's a good, like, dynamic that needs to be looked at. Like, let's be honest, Texas hasn't been we haven't reached expectations that we're supposed to reach the past decade. And now all of a sudden it almost feels like we're getting instant success, but we haven't necessarily taken the necessary steps, which we have. But it's really, it feels like we're ahead of schedule almost. And how do you take that and really see where we can go in the future? And I've kind of been guilty of this as well. Like, I'm kind of what you were describing, this who we are fan. Like, I, if we drop more than two a year, I'm disappointed. I have to catch myself. So I'm with you. But I think rest assured, what comforts me the most is the type of talent that Sark has stacked on this roster. Like, he's gone out and gotten a specific type of guy. He's been able to dominate the portal like no other. So I think with this recruiting, it eases my mind knowing that we'll be able to maintain this type of success.
Yeah, I'm like you too. I want to see it. You know, I want to see back to back. I want to
right.
see that consistency. And Sark has made it a point to tell us, like, complacency is the work of the devil. And he's telling his players that, his coaches that. And you know that, having been at Texas and an NFL player. How big a step up do you think it will be, going to the SEC where you have these, raging wars, every Saturday.
Yeah, I think we'll be ready. I think we'll be able to get up for the big games. That doesn't worry me at all. Like the Bamas, the Georgias, like these type of teams, we'll be ready for those games. It's the, it's the games.
Thanks.
It's the games after those Bama and Georgia games that you got to worry about. Like you can't
Right.
squeak by some of these weaker teams, and we just got to come with it each day, each practice. And I'm confident Sark has built this thing the right way, so I know we will, and I think we'll be ready for this.
I am excited about I'm excited about that whole schedule. It's going to be weird watching them play four non-conference games to start the season. That's never happened since I've been on this beat. And the SEC still insists on playing eight conference games instead of nine, which I don't get. I'm just glad that Texas is not playing Sewanee State or Slippery Rock, Citadel. I just don't have a lot of use for that. Quinn Ewers, I feel like Sark's about to turn him loose and let him be that Colt McCoy type guy they haven't had in a while. Sammy Ellinger was good, but Sammy was more of a tank down on the goal line running the football. Quinn's more of a drop back passer. What have you seen from young Quinn, and do you think he's looking over his shoulder? We saw Arch Manning and Mansell Rancho. He looks like you, Alex. He's big. He's a big man. That is a big man.
No, I said the same thing. First, yeah, I gotta acknowledge Arch. He surprised me. His stature surprised me, man. He looks like one of the Mannings. He does for sure. He
Yeah.
fits that mold for sure. So, no, I love that we have a loaded QB room. I love that Arch will be on Ewers' heels. Not that he's gonna take his spot or anything like that, but the fact that he can push him week in and week out and know that we have a viable option waiting there on the bench. But first and foremost, for Quinn, I think he made the best decision by coming back. I know a lot of people expected him to leave, and without the injury last season, he probably would have left. But I think it was a blessing in disguise. I think it brings him back, and I think he can reach the heights here at Texas that he didn't reach last year. Like you said, kind of like the Colt McCoy type of heights that he could reach. So I'm excited to see the next step that he takes. One thing about Quinn is he's going to look great at practice. He's going to look great at workouts. Like, what you're getting. You're getting that beautiful ball. You're getting that arm strength, and you love to see that. I kind of want to see him in big moments take more command this season and make those bigger, more clutch plays this season. I think you can do that for us, but that's what I'll be looking for.
Let me ask you
Do
something.
you?
Let me ask you something.
Yeah.
That last throw to A.D. Mitchell, do you, if he zips it in there, I think A.D. Mitchell finds a way to catch that
I
ball.
think so too.
Much touch, too much lob, not enough zip.
I think
Were you
too.
at you were you at Pro Day? We saw you at Pro Day, didn't we?
I was at Pro Day.
Did you see he was Quinn dropping dimes? Kirk wasn't there. Was Quinn dropping dimes or was Quinn dropping dimes at Pro Day?
Listen, it was unbelievable, and it's not exaggerated.
It
He
was
looked
real.
the part at Pro Day. So I say that to say, wherever he finishes the season on the draft boards, just know after that Pro Day next year, he's just going to continue to rise. Like, he's only going up after workouts because he looks that good in person.
Does he look like an NFL quarterback who can start and play for 6, 10 years?
Absolutely. He did that
Yeah,
day.
he
He
does.
did. He did.
I agree, especially since he kind of built out his frame a little bit as well.
But you're right, though, Alex. It's like Texas gets up for the Alabamas and the Oklahomans, and they play Michigan week two. That's going to be a heck of a game early in the season. Is there any one or two things that you'd like to see more from Quinn? You said you want to see more clutch plays, and he ran a little bit more, last year. That
That's what
was
I
a
don't want to see.
No, you don't want to see that.
I don't want to see that. Quinn, he has to get better at sliding and taking
Oh,
feet
he got
in.
blown up
So,
in Houston. That was like he was
yeah.
like in between.
He
He
has to
was on the
get better.
ground.
Yeah, so if I'm being
I
honest,
want
I
him
don't want to.
sliding.
This is what I want from speaking of that. I want to see a full season. What is it? 12 games out of him. He gives us 12 games. I think this Texas team gets exactly where it wants to go. I think he reaches the aspirations at the next level he wants to reach. And I think if we're really looking into it, it's about health. because he plays well, he always has to take these small hiatuses during the season. So if he can continue just to, you know, pick up steam, continue to gain momentum, I think he'll get us where we want to go.
And he's added some weight back. What do you have? 10, 12 pounds, Sid.
He's like 205 right now, says he's going to get up to 210. Played at 195. That's too skinny last year. I got to mention this, and you mentioned his health. When the Longhorns beat the ever-living you-know-what out of OU in 05, OU had a quarterback. Was it Red Bomar? Red Bomar was a quarterback, and he took a savage beating that day. And we asked Vince Young about it. This is 6'5", 230-pound Vince Young. So I was like, Vio, man, what do you think about Bomar? How tough was that kid? And Vince goes, that boy needs to learn how to get out of bounds. He needs to learn how to slide. You never saw Vince Young get blown up. Vince always knew how to dip out of bounds, how to get down on the ground. He rarely had to slide because he was fast enough to beat him to the corner and get out of bounds. And Quinn's got – he's not fleet of foot, so he's going to have to master that slide because that could be the difference between them winning 8 games and them winning 11 games.
Sure, yeah.
I think Arch is going to be good, but, you know, if I'm Sark, I want Quinn in there for 12 games.
And then we talked about receivers a little bit. Did anybody catch your eye, Alex, among these – receivers? They lose their four top pass catchers, and we all know how hard that is to replace. You know, Bond, Golden, who are you seeing that you like, maybe that alpha dog at receiver, Alex?
Yeah, so whenever we lost X and AD and Jay Witt, I mean, on paper, I knew exactly what we were losing. And then these dudes go out there and test the way they test, and it's like, I thought I knew what we were losing.
They were great. They're about to get really great.
This room was loaded. So I was one of the guys that was a little skeptical. I loved hearing the names that we picked up during the portal, but I knew what we was losing. So I was like, hold on, let me wait and see what these guys look like once they get on campus. Hey, I'll give it to Sark. We didn't retooled, and these dudes look great. So Bond, he looks like he's going to be that home run hitter. Like he looks like he's not going to say X, but that next deep threat type guy we got. Right. What else? You know, you got Jonte Cook.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cook. And the only reason I put his name in there, cause we didn't really see much of him last year, but you got Cook coming up. I think he's going to put up numbers this year. I didn't see too much of Golden, and not saying, you know, that doesn't mean absolutely anything. I just, at the practice I was at, I didn't see too much out of him. I will say it again.
Matthew Golden's another one.
Didn't see a lot of him. Yeah.
I didn't see too much of Golden, but Wingo, I know he's been getting a lot of attention at practice. Mm-hmm. He was a pleasant surprise. He, looking at his measurables, you know how big you think he is. But then when you actually get there and see him in person, you're like, whoa, he looks even bigger than the numbers that I saw. Like, he, no lie, he looked like if LeBron James had on football pads and he was running across the field. Like, he looked like a basketball player out there running.
He's a baby, too. I mean, again, I'm hearing Roy Williams comparisons already.
Yeah,
I mean, absolutely. Roy was a grown man in high school. Yeah, when we saw Roy, he was a grown man in high school. Last one for me. We got you on here because you were a sack man. Four and a half sacks in your last college game. Who is the sack master? We keep waiting on Baron Sorrell. Hell no, fam. I like 88, but you know, he flashes. Who is the sack master in 2024? Is it too early for Colin Simmons? Is Ethan Burke gonna take another step up? Colton Vacek Gonna emerge? Who do you see?
Yeah. Might not be the answer you're looking for, but I think it's gonna continue to be another year of sack by committee. And that's not necessarily the worst thing, just because I think we will put up higher numbers than we did last year. Like, I think Baron Sorrell's gonna be looking at a career high this year. I think he's gonna have an amazing season. I think those pressures are gonna turn into sacks and hits and stuff, and it's all gonna connect for him. I think Alfred Collins is going to take a big step, and I think
we've been waiting on Alfred.
We've all been waiting a long time, and that's just right. Because we know the potential he has, and he's a local guy. But I think he's going to contribute a lot more this season. I want to shy away from putting too much on Colin Simmons. Like
He's a freshman.
he's just a freshman. He can't be the anchor for us. Like he's not gonna come out there and be Jeff Cole. Like that is different. So I would like to see him come out there and flash, kind of like, you know, Ant Hill flash a little bit and Burke flash a little bit, maybe to a higher degree than that. But I don't want to put more than that. I think we see the biggest difference maker come in Trey Moore, hopefully. I think that's where we see it. I think that's where we can see the most improvement in this room come from is Trey Moore, just because I think he has all the tools and, from what I've seen at practice, the mentality and the competitive spirit to, you know, really make an impact this season.
Well, the last one for me, Alex, is concerning the NFL draft coming up next week. You know, I keep hearing the Chiefs love these Longhorn wide receivers, might end up with A.D. Mitchell or Xavier Worthy. Do you expect maybe that to be a location for one of these? And anybody else that jumps out at you at this draft for the Longhorns?
Man, I would love to. So it's taking everything in me not to not to text my old GM and be like, "Hey, listen, about
Do
X,
it, do it.
AD." Like it's definitely crossed my mind, but I know what they're doing in the scouting department down there. But I think they can't go wrong with either of those guys.
Yeah.
Obviously, X is probably going to come off the board sooner just because of speed. Can't teach speed, and that's not even saying nothing to AD because he put up a 4.34, so that's unreal. But you know, if the Chiefs could get either of those receivers, I mean, I think that receiving room is going to be unfair. I think that offense is going to be unfair, and you know, it's going to be scary.
That's a great class of receivers.
They're gonna need one now. Rashee Rice might spend most of the season in court. I mean, everybody's doing him.
Yeah, he'll have a lot going on during the season. But yeah, if they get a guy like AD, I think that's a home run for him.
Oh
Like I said,
man.
I think X will go a little higher, but they get AD, they're getting a wide receiver one at the bottom of the first. So
And you know, Jonathan Brooks is listed as maybe the first running back, you know, taken off the board, even though he's off of ACL surgery. What was the TCU game in November? I mean, that'd be remarkable.
Cowboys are taking him, Kirk.
Oh, are they? Okay.
Their doctor did his surgery. What is that about?
He can do a lot worse. There was no drop off from Bijan. As great as Bijan was, Jonathan Brooks stepped in and did everything that Bijan gave him. So do you look for a great NFL career out of a JB, Alex?
Yeah, I think he's going to be an outstanding pro. It's hard to ignore the numbers and the damage that he did last year, last season. He was unbelievable catching the ball, running the ball, punching it in once he did get into space. Like,
Right.
I love JB, and I don't think anybody expected that type of season. So I'm so happy for him. Like Sid said, Cowboys would be the perfect fit for him, but I could honestly say that about three other Longhorns. I feel like Nick Sweat would be a great fit for him. Like, so
Yeah, because he's way better than that Maisie from
yeah,
Michigan. I mean, he didn't be a drop last year.
that
He
yeah, so
didn't. We still waiting on him. I hope Sweat doesn't drop too far because of what happened. Because Jalen Carter had problem. He dropped a little bit, and Eagles got a find. He's great. So hopefully Sweat will land in a nice spot in the first second round. Hopefully he doesn't slip to the third, because that's a lot. That's a lot of greenbacks that he's missing out on from second to third round.
Yeah. Any television duties you have coming up you need to promote, Alex?
There you go,
Not
Sunday
yet.
night with Bob Alou, maybe.
Not yet. I might try to jump in the studio, but nothing is confirmed just yet. But definitely next football season, you'll be able to catch me again on local networks.
Awesome.
Well,
Awesome.
man, it's always a pleasure, Alex. Spring football game is at 1 o'clock on Saturday. It's the last live football game that you'll see on the Longhorn Network, by the way, even if it's a scrimmage. And the Longhorn Network's coming to an end, so you better enjoy while you got it. But Alex, man, we appreciate it, and we will hook back up sometime during the season. Always a pleasure, brother.
Absolutely. I appreciate y'all, fellas. Thank you.
Good luck with the school board.
Absolutely. Thank you.
On Second Thought.
Alex Okafor bringing the knowledge. Always good to catch up with a great young man who knows a little bit about this game we watch, and just giving us some insight that only an alumni with full access can give us, Doug.
With NFL experience too. So he
There you
knows
go. Got
players.
the credentials, sir.
He knows talent when he sees it. And this team's loaded.
And he's excited about this season. Not so exciting news coming out from across the highway at Dish Falk, Duck. Texas baseball loses 17-9 on Tuesday night to UT Rio Grande Valley. First time they've lost to RGV since 1968, Duck. 68, Duck.
And before I was even in college.
You weren't even in college yet, Duck. You were throwing a paper out at 68. And so Dave Pierce got problems, man. Seven-hit batsman. The pitching staff is the worst I've seen. And I know I haven't seen as many games as you, but I've been around the program for about 25 years. You've been around the program for about 50. Horrific, horrific, horrific baseball we saw in that game on Longhorn Network.
I think they hit nine batters, didn't they? Wasn't it 20 walks
It
and
was
hit batters?
seven. It was seven when I turned off, turned it, when I
Yeah,
turned the channel. So maybe it was nine. I don't know. I just couldn't, Duck, I couldn't watch it. It was unwatchable.
it's
Unwatchable.
you hate to say it, but this may be the worst Texas pitching staff I've ever seen.
You've seen
And
a few, and you've seen a few.
that counts 50 years at the Statesman and a few more when I was working for the Daily Texan. And it's a team that has no ace. LeBaron Johnson has,
Hasn't
just,
worked out for the LBJ. Hasn't
I
worked
mean,
out.
his ERA 5.57 with a 1-3 record.
That
And
was your Friday night guy.
that's your ace. That's your ace. And he got what he pitched game three against Houston and struggled in that game. And I was looking and said, that opening weekend, the three-game rotation starters, LeBaron Johnson, Charlie Hurley, Tanner Witt. LBJ's ERA 5.57. Charlie Hurley 7.71. Tanner Witt, who bless his heart, isn't even pitching now, 5.79. I mean, that's your starting rotation. And they don't even have an ace, much less a two or a three person for Saturday, Sunday. So, and unfortunately, this falls at the feet of David Pierce, who made himself pitching coach after he let go Woody Williams after 1 year. And that was after letting go Sean Allen, the year before. So there's trouble brewing at the baseball team.
He's in
And
trouble. He's in trouble over there. And
yep.
I don't see any answers. Duck, you can't win every game 17 to 12.
No,
Not
no.
in this league, and not going into the SEC where the pitching is always good in that league. So I don't know if DP has any answers. The worst, I just think Dale Cunningham would hate to have to run him entering the SEC. I mean, and then you look up the road a piece or down the road a piece, an hour or so, and Jim Schlossnagel has it going.
They're number one.
Texas A&M is the best team in the country, and it's a coach that maybe Texas could have had. And I don't think he, Duck, you talked to him. Schloss didn't get an interview, did he?
No, and they could have had him. But that's spilt milk. And now they're
It's
sitting here.
sour milk too. It's that
Yeah,
milk's
that's
turned sour.
sour milk. Yeah, exactly. And I was looking at their RPI set, and they were 67 yesterday morning. Now they're 76 in the country. I mean, East Texas State's ahead of them. I mean, there are other teams that are not immune. Arizona State, proud program with a national championship, they're 78. Miami, the Hurricanes, a
They
college
won.
baseball parent, they're 71st. So they're lumped in there with some, but. Sam Houston's better than they are. Wofford, Troy, names that you don't expect to be in the same conversation with Texas. And when you put
22
yourself a
and
pitching coach, you put yourself out there. If it works, great. But it was such a
doesn't.
risky move, and it just hadn't worked. And they've got
22 and 16, Duck, entering this weekend. What are they in conference? They won nine games in conference.
Well, they're 9-6, and that's what's weird. They're fourth place in the standings, just two back of OU and West Virginia, co-leaders, but they're eighth behind in RPI. They're 7 Big 12 teams with better RPIs. And I was looking at D1 baseball. They do a great job.
They do.
And they had a 2 weeks ago, they had a mid-season 64 tournament projection. And they had Texas as a 3 seed going to College Station. And, Mr. Lamar in
Yo.
there. And I think Louisiana, the Raging Cajuns were in there. And, Dallas Baptist is a top 20 team. We wrote about it in our take last week. And I don't know if te I don't think Texas is the top five baseball team in the state of Texas right
Not
now.
right now. They're not playing
Much
like
less the country, And
UT
now.
Rio Grande Valley's like, hey, don't forget about us, fam. We just went up to the dish and took care of business. Don't forget about us.
And it's getting panic time when David Pierce goes to Jared Thomas, his first baseman slash outfielder slash
That
best
about? What
hitter.
was that
Well,
about?
he pitched some in high school at Waxahachie.
No. Is he just looking? Is he grasping for straws at this point?
Yeah, he is.
Totally lost confidence. Because at the beginning of the year, we're talking, boy, they got a lot of arms. They got a lot of arms in the, in that on that staff. They just need three or four guys to step up. No one stepped up, Duck. No one has stepped up.
Well, Ace Whitehead is competitive as hell,
I
but
like Ace.
throws strikes and throws a lot of off speed. But he's, hits 88 maybe. Max Grubbs in that category. Jared Thomas threw a couple no hitters in high school, and but he's more of a hitter. And like we said, he's just desperate right now. And the way they're going, I don't they wouldn't be in the NCAA tournament today with the RPI of 76. I don't think you get in with that. So they got TCU coming in here this weekend, and TCU hasn't fulfilled their billing either. So, but that's what's weird is how they keep winning two out of three in a lot of these series. But they lost two out of three to BYU here at the Dish. So it just really up and down, up and down. And pitching's the main culprit.
And it's going to be a long, long summer if they don't figure it out, Doug, because we got nothing. I mean, maybe, just think of Mike White's softball team's playing really well.
Number one.
Number one team, they took down Oklahoma last week. So we do have that, but man, we usually spend a lot of time at the baseball diamond. And there's nothing worse than bad baseball, and it's bad baseball in front of the maybe one of the most passionate fan bases in the country. Those people just love their baseball, and they have to be dying. Listening to Keith Moreland and Greg Swindell call that game on LHN, it had to be painful for them. I ran into Drew, not Drew Stubbs. I ran into Seth Johnston and Justin Simmons at the, at the Headliners Club. We did a spring football event this week, and they still live it. They still love it, and so it's painful to watch a great program struggle like this. And the struggle, Duck, is real. This is not some little like some little stomach bug. Like, and next week you'll be feeling better. There are deep-seated, horrible problems. They'd run deep in this program, and David Pierce had better come up with some answers before they find someone else who can.
Yeah, and the other thing that expectations for Texas baseball are just enormous, as anybody who sits in that seat that David Pierce is sitting in. And it's even more when you look at the wild success the other athletic programs in this state, at this school has. Softball, like you mentioned, they're number one. Men and women's tennis. They could win it all. The women's golf is number 11 in the country. Flo women won an indoor national track championship.
Flo is in his bag right now, Duck.
Jared Elliott wins it all again, back to back in volleyball. So he's up against that pressure too, because we all know Chris Del Conte worships the Director's Cup trophy, and with the SEC coming next year, you
And
don't want to
Sark has
miss.
figured it out too.
Yeah, he is. Absolutely. That you look at up and down for all the programs. And in fairness, Ronnie Terry, was under pressure this year. They underperformed most of the year, got in the tournament, won a game, and then played Tennessee even in one of the ugliest
Hideous.
NCAA games ever. But they were there at the end. Now they picked up three players, two from Indiana State, which just won the NIT, and the leading scorer from Arkansas. So
Draymond
you.
Mack, the leading scorer from Arkansas. Two sophomores, Julian Larry, the point guard and a wing, and Jason Kidd. Yes.
And they're bigger guards too. I mean, Julian Larry, he's like 6'3", I think, and Tremont Mark is 6'5". So having
Ken
bigger
6'8. Ken
helps
6'8.
too. Yeah, well, Kent's the power forward.
Yeah.
But they have bigger guards because they had little guards last year, Max and Tyrese Hunter.
And
So
Trey Johnson is 6'6, the freshman coming in
right.
from the Dallas native coming in.
Get Shedrick back.
And Caden Shedrick is back. Dylan Mitchell, Tyrese Hunter are entered the transfer portal. I think that's probably a smart move by them.
Not really a surprise.
Not a surprise. I really Dylan Mitchell played great in the first half of the season, but he can't
Hadn't
shoot.
developed.
He can't shoot. I mean,
No.
I'm not a, when I say you can't shoot, he can't make a 10-foot jump shot.
No.
So you can't live on putbacks and dunks. You cannot live on putbacks and dunks. You can't live on that if you want to play at the next level. He's got to add something to his bag. Tyrese Hunter was way too up and down, Duck.
He was rolling.
Just it was a roller coaster. One game, I mean, he played great one game, and
Yeah,
then he
30,
didn't show
30.
the next. Yeah, and didn't show the next. So
Right.
hopefully those guys figure it out. RT is refortified. His roster. I think there's probably a couple of more moves he's going to have to make. Really high on Kendall Weaver coming back, developing his game. He's that Energizer bunny that every team needs. So I think there is definitely some cause for optimism over at the basketball. And be remiss if we didn't congratulate former Texas women's basketball player Celeste Taylor got drafted. She's going to be teammates with Caitlin Clark. So we got to
Exactly.
give her flowers. Of course, that was two teams ago. She went from Texas to Duke to Ohio State. So she's been making the rounds. But I was happy to be watching, very emotional when she got picked.
And you and I were in Waco on Saturday for the Texas Sports
Yes,
Hall of
sir.
Fame
Yes, sir.
inductions, where Colt McCoy, Jamaal Charles, Bubba Thornton, and Krista Williams
Isn't
all
that
got
nice?
inducted into the Hall of Fame. And
Yeah.
and that was a fun night. It was a fun night. So
Good food, good company. Just all hanging out with our selection committee brethren, Bryce Cherry and Al Pickett and Robert Cessna. Those guys are all fun. Always fun to see those guys in Waco every year for that.
and you know what said, if people that listening and watch this podcast, if they have people they want to nominate for the Texas Sports Hall of Fame,
On that
Cedric and
website.
I are both on that committee. Send us a text or an email, and we will definitely consider it because we meet in June and select the 20 on the active ballot before we vote in August and September. So please send us your nominees, and we'll consider them.
And speaking of that, we ran into a lovely young lady named Karen Matus from Rockdale.
That's right.
She sent a nomination in. She is a longtime listener of our podcast. We appreciate it. We got so many people coming up to us in Waco saying, love the podcast. I'm like, we write too. You can feel free to subscribe to the Statesman, So really love the fact that you guys are giving the podcast love. Numbers are great. People are really excited to hear us speak in addition to writing. Tell a friend about our podcast. Let us know what you think. Because we're always trying to do better. We're not, it's not a finished product by any means. So if you got something, any ideas, just let us know because we love to hear from our readers and our listeners.
And we'll both be at the spring game this Saturday at the DKR.
That'll do it for episode 333 of On Second Thought. Thanks to Alex Okafor for joining us. Have fun at the game on Saturday. We'll be right back here next week. For the Duck, Kirk Bowles, I'm Seth Golden. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to On Second Thought, powered by Hook'em.com. Join Seth and Kirk every Thursday at lunch for a new episode. Archived episodes are available on iTunes and Google Android Play.